We're turning again today in the Word of God to the book of Ruth and to the chapter 2. And today we're reading from the verse 8 of Ruth chapter 2, continuing our studies in the book of Ruth. And in the verse 8, we read these words, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And we'll end the reading there at the verse 17. We want just to take a moment again to seek the Lord in prayer, and ask for that help that is needed in the going forth of his word. Heavenly Father, again we rejoice today in all of thy mercies and all of thy blessings. We have to acknowledge, even with thy word, that thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we thank thee we have proved thee and proved thy faithfulness and experienced thy mercies. And we pray even today as we consider thy word, we acknowledge again that thy word is truth. We know that in thy word thou dost call us to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. We know it is through the foolishness of preaching thou dost save those that believe. And we know that even faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know our faith grows even through our consideration of thy word. We can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Saviour. And so we simply ask today that thou will bless thy word to your hearts, and all that has taken place in each of our experiences in the week that has passed, and even in the week that is to come. We realise thou art the one who knows all things. Thou art the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we pray as we think upon thy word that it will be even a word in season to your hearts, something that will have that very personal application to us. Even at this time, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When God, in his mercy and grace, saved Ruth and brought her into his family, it was for Ruth the beginning of a life of blessing, from a spiritual and temporal perspective. Now, the people of God are often described in the Word of God as a blessed people. Psalm 32 reminds us that we are blessed because our transgressions are forgiven and our sins are covered in God's sight. We are blessed if we are saved, because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul declares in Ephesians chapter 1 that if we're saved, if we have turned from sin and trusted Christ as Saviour, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Those blessings are listed in that chapter of Ephesians, and they include being chosen by God before the foundation of the world. They include being adopted into his family. They include redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. They include that spiritual inheritance in the Lord Jesus. Now for Ruth, part of the blessing of God upon her life here on earth was God bringing the man called Boaz into her life. And of course, she was eventually united to Boaz in marriage. And because Boaz pictures the Lord Jesus and is a type of Christ, there are many important lessons to learn from the growing relationship which developed between Ruth and Boaz. In this second chapter of the book of Ruth, we find that when Boaz first saw Ruth in his harvest field and recognized that she was a stranger, he immediately showed an interest in her, asking his servant, who was set over the reapers, who Ruth was, and then going on to speak to Ruth. And he spoke words to her that were wise, words that were kind. Indeed, Boaz made his business to get to know about Ruth and to get to know her. In this chapter 2, in the verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." And we do see pictured in the relationship between Ruth and Boaz the greater relationship between Christ and his people. Because Christ has an eternal interest in his people. He has a perfect knowledge of his people, and he does bless his people beyond measure. And today I want us to come to this chapter and think about some of the blessings which Ruth received from Boaz, and how this parallels with some of the blessings believers receive from Christ. I want first of all to consider the blessing of direction. In Ruth chapter 2, and the verse 8, when Boaz spoke to Ruth for the first time, he directed her not to go and glean in the other field, but to remain by his maidens as she gleaned in the harvest field. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." In verse 9 he said, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them." Therefore we can say that Boaz was directing Ruth. He was guiding Ruth as to where she should be in the harvest field, where she should not be, even concerning her company. And when you get to the end of the chapter, chapter 2 of Ruth, and read the verses 21 and 22, when Ruth went home at the end of that day and she was relating to Naomi what had happened, she told Naomi that Boaz had said unto her, "Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." In other words, as she related the direction, the guidance that Boaz had given to her, Naomi was saying to her, "Well, it's good if you follow that guidance." And in verse 23, she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean on to the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. And this was one of the blessings which Ruth received from Boaz, this blessing of direction. And it's obvious from the directions that he gave her, the very simple directions, that he had a great concern for her well-being. And as we ponder these simple directions which Boaz gave to Ruth, we can draw a parallel with the directions that saved sinners receive from the Lord through the written word of God. Christ is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. And we can say the Lord gives direction as to where we should be in life and where we should not be. I remember on one occasion some years ago when one of our ministers had received a call from a vacant congregation and given time to seek the Lord in prayer. The word through which the Lord directed him on that occasion not to accept the call extended to him was from this very chapter, Ruth 2 in the verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field." And those words, "go not to glean in another field," were impressed upon the heart of this particular minister, and through that he believed the Lord was directing and guiding him to stay in the congregation where he was ministering at that time. The Lord does guide and direct us concerning where we should be in life. Remember the experience of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16. And you will discover in the verse 6 that when they, Paul and his missionary companions, had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. God was directing them. He was forbidding them to go into certain regions at that time. Verse 7, after Acts 16, verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Again, God was directing them, suffering them not to go into certain areas to bring them to the place where the Lord wanted them at that time. In verse 9 of Acts 16, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And we're told in verse 10 of Acts 16, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And again, we're simply seeing there that the Lord gives direction to his people as to where we should be and where we should not be. And as you listen today, maybe there is direction and guidance needed in your life at this time with regard to a career, with regard to a work, and even in all the difficult and unprecedented circumstances that are happening in our land and the world, and therefore having an effect upon our lives. We may need specific direction and guidance from the Lord. And we can have that blessing of direction and guidance as we read and study God's word day by day. The Lord will speak to us. He will direct us. The Lord also directs us concerning our company. Just as Boaz directed Ruth to stay in the company of his maidens and among his men that were the reapers, so the people of God are directed in the word of God to gather together as a company of believers to worship God and in fellowship with one another. Of course, we miss that experience at this particular time. Now, of course, it's not to say that we cut ourselves off from the unsaved and our families or among our neighbours because we want to be a witness to them. But we should have that special desire to be with the people of God. And I know at this time when we're not able to meet in the public place of worship that it is missed by the people of God. Hebrews 10 and 25 exhorts us not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And of course, we're not deliberately in these days forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It is because of the circumstances we're in. And thank God we can still meet in our own homes around the word of God and watch on by means of the internet services taking place and God's word being preached. And of course, we do long to again gather in the company of other believers in the public place of worship, and in the Lord's purpose and time, we will, we believe, have that blessing again. When we think of the Lord directing concerning our company, there is a few verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, as Paul was writing to the Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, the verses 14 and 15, he wrote this: "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. There are times when maybe the company of others has to be withdrawn from because of the reasons laid down here. And of course, even while we seek to be a witness to those that are unsaved and out of Christ and be in their company for that reason, there maybe are some who, because of their wicked influence, that we have to withdraw from their company. We think even of what the Word of God tells us, even in the book of Genesis, about Lot and his family. When they went into the wrong company, it was the means of great harm to that family. The Psalm 1 reminds us that the blessed man is so careful about his company, because he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But I believe the Lord directs us also as to what we should and should not look upon in life. Again, we're seeking to draw the parallel with Boaz exhorting Ruth here in Ruth chapter 2 to let her eyes be on the field that his maidens were reaping in. And we can therefore consider what or who we should look upon and what or who we should not look upon. For example, in Psalm 119 and verse 37, the psalmist prayed that the Lord would turn his eyes away from beholding vanity. We should not fix our gaze upon that which is empty and false. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, the Lord Jesus said that to look on a woman, to lust after her, is to commit adultery with her in the heart. Thinking in a particular manner of how Boaz directed Ruth to look on the harvest field, we are taught by the Lord Jesus to look upon the spiritual need of sinners in the spiritual harvest. We may think of the time in Matthew 9 when he looked out upon the multitudes. He saw them with compassion in his heart, as sheep having no shepherd. We may think in John 4 and 35 of how the Lord Jesus instructed the disciples to lift up their eyes, to look on the fields, for they were white, already to harvest. And yes, there are mission fields far from us in the physical sense in the word, but there is a mission field all around us. And we are thankful that even in these days, by the means of the internet, we can reach out to others with the word of God. And of course, even by the means of the phone call, by the means of the letter, we can continue to sow the seed. It is a blessing then for the saved sinner to have the word of the Lord, to direct us in life as to how we should live for the Lord. And if you're listening and you're unsaved, let me say the Lord through the word would direct you as to how you can be saved, how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can be right with the Lord. It's through taking your place as a sinner before God, turning from that sin, asking God for forgiveness, trusting in what Christ has done by his sinless life, by his sacrificial death, his blood shedding, by his resurrection. He has provided salvation for all who will turn from sin and trust him. And that's a step you need to take, and then you'll be truly blessed. So there were blessings that Ruth received from Boaz, the blessing of direction. And there are blessings we receive from the Lord, the blessing of direction through his word. But what about the blessing of provision? Because back here in Ruth chapter 2, if you look at the verse 9, as Boaz continued to speak to Ruth, he told her in the verse 9 that when she was thirsty, when thou art athirst, down toward the end of verse 9 of Ruth 2, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young man have drawn. Boaz was providing for Ruth's needs, not only in the sense that she was permitted to be in his harvest field and to glean after the reapers, but even while she was in the harvest field, and when she would be thirsty, she was going to have the water that the young man had drawn provided for her. And later on in verse 14, Boaz said to her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar, And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and lay. The blessing of provision. And indeed, not only providing the water to drink and the food even at mealtime, but we discover in verses 15 and 16, that when she went back to glean after the mealtime, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Oh, Boaz provided for her in a very abundant way. What blessings then Ruth received from the hand of Boaz. And again, we're seeking to draw the parallel. We're saying that the blessings that came to Ruth from the Lord, from her conversion and from coming to the land of Israel, were connected then when she got to the land of Israel with God bringing Boaz into her life. And the relationship was developed, and of course it would lead eventually to their marriage. And so we're drawing the parallel. And we're thinking of the blessing of direction that Ruth received from Boaz. We're thinking now of the blessing of provision. And we're drawing the parallel. How the Lord directs us as his people through his word. Through all the circumstances of life. We can look back. Like the hymn writer, we can say, "All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?" And someday in glory we'll look back and we'll say that he's led us all the way. And that he provides for us in a temporal way. And of course, above all, in a spiritual manner. The hunger and thirst of our souls is met in Christ in salvation. The hunger and thirst of the body is provided for us on a daily basis. Did not the Lord Jesus teach us to pray to our Father, "Give us this day our daily bread"? God provides the means to go out and earn the finances to purchase our temporal supplies. As the bread of life, Christ provides for the needs of the soul. The word of God is our spiritual food once received to grow in grace. And you know, the Lord's provisions, whether they be spiritual or temporal, are always sufficient. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verses 7 and 8, he wrote this: "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Oh, God's provision is sufficient. Again, when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he reminded them in Philippians 4, verses 18 and 19, that he had all and he abounded. He was full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he declared, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The Lord provides for his people. And again, if you're not saved, you need to accept and receive the provision Christ has made for the salvation of sinners. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to be right with God, if you're going to escape hell, if you're going to be in heaven. You know, Ruth was most grateful for the blessings that she received from Boaz. And we ought to be grateful for the blessings the Lord bestows upon us. For we're not worth it. They are all of his grace. And Ruth 2, in verse 10, she fell on her face before Boaz. She bowed herself to the ground. She said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And then in verse 15, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." And even all of this, she was so thankful for. And we are reminded therefore today to thank the Lord for his many provisions to us. And so we Thank you again today for listening, and we trust that the Word of God will be a means of blessing to your soul, not only today, but even in the week that lies before us.